Hi everyone, it's Gavin J, the best things since zebras, and you're listening to Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I'll be talking to Amanda Weller, who's an energy healer. She originally stepped into the world of holistic healing by training as a reflexologist. She also qualified in body talk and then quantum touch, and has a short coaching program and reads tarot cards to help people. Based in Surrey, she works with clients both in person and remotely. Welcome to the show, Amanda. How are you doing?
Thank you very much. I'm doing really well, thank you. Yes, how about you, Gavin?
Good, thank you. Good. You do so much. I was really out of breath when I was reading out everything that you do. Look, I think it would be brilliant to start off with a bit about yourself and your background and how you got to where you are today. You know, start from when you were 18 if you want, no problem.
Okay, well, I mean, going that far back, I started in admin roles, actually, and did a couple of jobs in London, and then I lived in Italy for a couple of years in Florence, which was just amazing. And then I came back and I did more admin, and I always wondered if I could get a degree, and if I did, what it would be and all of that kind of stuff. So age 28, I actually took myself off to Birkbeck College, which is part of the University of London, and did a degree in humanities, which is all in the evening. So I was working part-time during the day and going in for my college stuff in the evenings over 4 years, which I absolutely loved. I was just, you know, so ready for it. It's such a different thing when you choose to study something. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. If you're not motivated, it's not happening.
Yeah, I think education can come at the wrong time, can't it? But for me, that was where, you know, it was just magic. So I was working part-time, paper pushing for the boss of a bed company, actually, in Fulham in London, where I met my husband during that period as well. So I came out and then did another admin job, and then we started our family, and then we moved down to Surrey, where we are now. And that is the point where my life changed and I got into this healing holistic world, and yeah, it's really completely blown my world apart, actually. Well, that's probably sounds negative. It's completely the opposite of that. It's really expanded my whole understanding about how we function and, well, everything, really. Yeah, so that was how I got, in brief.
That's brilliant. That's fair enough. We're going to talk more about it anyway, because my first question is, how and why did you get into holistic healing, the whole field and that kind of thing? How did you come across it?
When we moved down here, I wanted my work to fit in around the nursery runs and the school runs and everything, because my children were little at that point. And so I took myself off at the weekends to learn reflexology. So I qualified in that first, and this was a real lesson in never say never, because I was sure that I didn't want to be one of these therapists who dabbled in lots of different things. I just wanted to be a good reflexologist. So I qualified as a reflexologist in 2005, and then 2008 I qualified as a body talk practitioner, and then after that basic qualification I did lots of other courses in body talk and ended up as both an advanced and a Parama practitioner. And the Parama is basically the body talk version of postgrad. And then a little while after that, I also added quantum touch as another modality. So those are my professional qualifications. And then more recently, I qualified as a certified tarot practitioner as well, using the cards. So, you know, that is my full list of qualifications. And yeah, but I'm still learning. You know, we just continually learn, don't we?
Of course.
It's the process of life, isn't it?
Of course. And holistic healing, just go into a bit more detail about what it is and what it does and the purpose of it.
Okay. So working holistically is you're working with a whole person. So that's physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, it's everything. And everything is connected to everything else. So although somebody may come with a sore knee or something, there will usually be other things that are going on or that have affected that, you know. So it's on one of the or many of these different levels. So it's working with that understanding, and it's also working with our natural instinct to get into the best state that we can, because even when things feel out in whatever way or ways they feel, you know, you're not feeling totally 100%, it's still the best that the body can do at that point. So, you know, the body never does anything that is against itself, if you like. So it's just working with our natural instinct to get into the best state that we can. And the energy healing aspect of it is that everything is energy. Absolutely everything is energy. And so you could substitute the word energy for consciousness. And so really shining a light of awareness on the things that pop up in one of my sessions is enough for the client's system to shift on whatever level or levels it knows it wants to at that moment, so that they feel better. I mean, that's what I'm playing with in all my sessions.
Fantastic. Okay. You know, you mentioned, like, say, for example, physically someone might have like a knee problem or something like that, or just it might just come about. Do you find sometimes that's related to the psychology of the mind, sending out signals and messages? Because I've heard these kind of things before, and I find that absolutely fascinating.
Absolutely. So, well, in Chinese medicine, for example, you know, all the bits of the body have different sort of aspects that are associated with them. So the knees, for example, are all to do with willpower. If a child wants to stand its ground, it'll lock its knees, won't it? It'll be stubborn and will be just kind of, you know, determined, and, you know, you get that physical reaction. It could go either way with a joint like the knees. It could be that somebody's had to use a lot of willpower and force to get, you know, to just sort of get through their days or to get through some, you know, tough work period or whatever it might be. Or it could be the opposite. It could be that they aren't able to use their willpower for whatever reason. So you've always got that sort of, you know, potentially both angles, if you like, both viewpoints. So yes, very much. That's exactly the how we are emotionally and how we think about things and our body are completely intimately connected. There's no divide. They're all part of the same thing, really. You know, it's us. It's how we function. We are an entirety, including all of those aspects.
Brilliant. And energy healing. Tell us a bit more about that and how does that work?
Well, as I mentioned, so we've got this this understanding really from quantum science that everything is energy. And so when I'm doing my sessions, it's really playing with the understanding that there is always the potential for things to shift and to get into a better state. And there is always the potential for things to land from a quantum perspective in many different ways. And so what we're doing is holding the space for things to land in a more comfortable way for the client as far as functioning goes, for example. And it's really just using that and allowing it to work its magic, really. So I don't know does that make sense?
No. I get what you're saying. I suppose maybe just give us a quick example, a case example. Just a quick. I know we're going to be discussing a few case examples, but just a quick one about energy healing. Like, for example, you've got someone that's come to you, and how you, if it's yourself that identifies about the point that the person might need some energy healing, because you do so much. So when you meet someone, you probably yourself think, right, okay, this person could benefit from some support with, you know, energy healing, body talk, quantum touch, or maybe, you know, maybe one or the other or combination. And I'm just wondering about the energy healing side of things. Is there some indicators that are given off from when you're talking to someone that actually this person might benefit from energy healing, and just some examples of how you help them in that area?
Okay. So first I ought to clarify, I've switched to saying energy healing as opposed to telling people that I'm a body talk practitioner and a quantum touch practitioner. I am both of those things, but I use the umbrella term energy healing so that my sessions basically are an intuitive mix of the two. Sorry, brilliant. I should have said that before. Oh, okay. That was the one point I'd forgotten to mention, because it makes it easier just to sort of do that. So in my sessions, whatever is appropriate is what pops up. So we bounce around the different sort of areas of both of those modalities within a session. And to give you an example, I mean, just to go for a physical one, somebody I know, actually, her mother had been suffering really badly with her back. And so at one point when she was staying locally with my friend, she brought her over. And in her case, I worked with her because she was in person with me. I worked with her physically. There's no pushing or pulling as in a sort of a massage or anything. But for me, I do sometimes have techniques where I just gently place my hands on somebody, and which is what I did. And within, you know, she came in really unable to move much, because, you know, your back is connected to everything, isn't it? If you've got a sore back, I mean, everything feels sore and stiff. And, you know, she was in a really bad way. Anyway, she went out and she started sort of doing a dance, literally doing a jig in outside the house when she left. And my friend was saying, "Mom, stop it. You've never done that." So, you know, these things can happen very quickly if you know, this is something also that I think is worth mentioning. A lot of times in the past, people have plonked themselves down on my sofa here in my room here. And I said, "Oh, well, of course, you know, it'll take ages to resolve whatever it is that they've come to ask for help with." But that's just a belief system. And, you know, if you believe that things are going to take forever to heal, maybe they will. Whereas, you know, she came, she was in desperate pain, and she was hoping for relief, and she got it, you know. So, yeah, so these things can happen. It doesn't happen the whole time. Clearly, I would hasten to add, I'm not trying to say that everybody I see has that exact reaction. Everybody's individual. However, these things can happen, which is lovely. Mm.
Fantastic, fantastic. We're just going to go to a quick ad break, and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer, life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So now, Amanda, do you have any client stories that would show our listeners the scope of the different reasons people come to you for sessions and the results they can achieve? I know we've mentioned something already, but if we go into a bit more detail, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, sure. Well, there are lots of different reasons people come. So sticking to physical symptoms, maybe to start with, supporting people as they go through their cancer journey. That's something that I do. And, you know, that's really wonderful because working as I do, I sometimes see people in person, but mostly my sessions are remote, which actually was the case long before the whole COVID scenario. So there's one woman, for example, who I started working with when she'd just had a full hysterectomy. I'd never met her. So she emailed me and I did remote sessions, and I would send her an audio report of her sessions And that's how we worked probably for 2 years, maybe more. This was a little while ago now. And then gradually she started coming to me in person because she's not so far from me here. And, you know, and I still support her. She's very fit and healthy now. And this is a few years later. But I still see her because she feels that the sessions are beneficial just to keeping her in balance and you know, just helping things tick over as they, you know, in the best way possible. So that's one example. I have a family in Portugal I work with, actually. This is quite interesting. So the one woman who was my first contact with that family, I usually see her over video and she'll just pop up and need support. And it could be physical things. It could be more emotional and mental things for her. I also work with her brother, who I have never spoken to. I've never had any email contact with. We just, we just communicate through very short WhatsApp messages, but he keeps coming back. So I presume he's happy with what's going on. So there's a real variety in how people communicate with me and how we, you know, how we manage the sessions. It's whatever's appropriate. And in fact, with that family, you know, sometimes I can work with people who I've never met, who I have no contact with. So for example, during the whole COVID thing, there was a relation, in another country who I worked with while he was in intensive care. So, you know, there are many different ways that, that I can work. Let me give you another example. I sometimes work with animals. So my sister's dog really? Was an example, yes.
I thought we were talking about just humans. This is brilliant.
You can work with animals as well. And what's lovely about working with animals, actually, is, you know, people will probably mostly, unless they're in intensive care or something, know that I'm working with them. Whereas an animal obviously doesn't. So if an animal is limping and then isn't limping, you know, that's an interesting sort of validation of what's gone on, isn't it, really?
Absolutely,
that sort of thing can happen. Children I often work with as well. And in that scenario, often it's the mum who contacts me and then I will work remotely. And often the children don't even know that I'm working with them. Mostly they don't. And those scenarios tend to be often to do with anxiety, anxious children. And, you know, they can really, children have, you know, the less layers of life experience or rubbish that's built up. And so, you know, I like working with children because they're often their responses are quite quick and easy. And there's one story, actually. There's a 7-year-old I was working with whose mother got in touch with me. And when she got in touch, she told me that he wasn't able to speak fluently. And he stuttered a lot. I think he was getting very frustrated. He had an increasingly quick temper, but he was also a very loving, kind, compassionate child. After the first session, she reported back that he seemed much happier. After his second session, apparently his temper was much better. And he was speaking a bit better. There was a stuttering over my words. but she could see a definite improvement. And then after the third session, she said that he seemed to be doing really well and that his reading had also turned a massive corner and that he generally seemed lighter in spirit and happier. I also work with teenagers sometimes. I mean, there's one particular case I remember where this child just stopped going to school and his mother was really worried about him. And I did remote sessions. He didn't know I was working on him. And that helped him sort of get back into, you know, normal life again. So, you know, there are lots of different ways you can work with, you know, that and reasons that people come to me. And people also combine, you know, the tarot and the energy healing as well. Sometimes usually what happens is people come to me for the energy healing side of things and then move on and have a bit of coaching or tarot afterwards if they feel like it. Sometimes that happens. There was one woman I worked with over lockdown, so I was doing video energy healing, and then afterwards, more recently, she came to me for a tarot reading. Her, over lockdown, it was more emotional, mental sort of things that she was wanting support over. And then with her tarot reading, she came to me. She was really gloomy when she arrived. This was an in-person reading. I can do them over Zoom as well, but she came to me. She was really depressed. It was particularly over her business, and she had something she was doing. She didn't really want to be doing it anymore. She couldn't see a way forward. Anyway, so we had a look at the cards, and she was a changed person an hour later. She had clarity. She had focus. She knew what she wanted to do. It was just,
that's amazing.
It was magic. But they're just this connecting to her intuition and her energy, and the cards are always spot on. It is extraordinary.
Do you sometimes feel like you're in a counselling role as well? Because people will tell you a lot about what's going on with them, and sometimes you feel you're doing more of the listening and maybe just asking them questions to get them to talk a bit more about what's happening and that kind of thing.
So
I know it's not your role.
Is the answer, because I'm not a counsellor, and people talk to me before I start my sessions with the energy healing. And they will explain what's going on. But actually, when I'm doing a session, I have to be completely neutral. It just doesn't work if I have an angle. and so that doesn't happen.
No, counsellors tend not to have an angle anyway. What I mean is counsellors do a lot of listening, and they ask the person questions. And it's about making that person listen to more to themselves about what's happening and that kind of thing.
Yes. So I think they definitely have the opportunity to understand themselves more in a session. It's actually me who does a lot of talking in my normal sessions, in the energy healing sessions. But then they also can interact if there's something that I say that sparks something they want to say. So there is chat, but it's... I come from a more neutral perspective, I think, is what I would say.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And it sounds like you're helping people. I mean, you can help kids, teenagers, adults, ladies, the men. So it sounds like you can help everyone, basically. And also you can help people with their kind of life situations, like if they're stressed with maybe either work or business or relationships as well. Have you worked with maybe couples or maybe the one person in a relationship around what's happening and that kind of thing?
I mean, the way that I've worked with it would be if somebody... Oh, so I have one example, for example, of a woman who came to me who... had found a partner who she really liked, and she didn't want to mess it up like her previous relationships had ended up. And so I did one or two sessions with her, and they're happily married now. So, that
fantastic.
Enabled her, whatever, something settled, and she was able to, carry on and achieve what she wanted. So that was good. So from that perspective, yes, but I'm not, I wouldn't do couples counseling or anything like that. But I think sometimes people do come to me for is if they're feeling stuck in some way. And there are a couple of things that I do that help people when, they're in that kind of situation. So I have a little coaching package, which works really well. And also the tarot cards, they help people, see a way forward, just like the story I gave you just now. So,
I mean, I've heard very positive things about tarot cards, and it's like, gosh, I mean, how does that all work? It is just like something else, isn't it?
It is crazy. It does sound a bit mad. I'd read lots of books about tarot. I'd used oracle cards for years myself, just for fun.
Yeah.
And I'd never, really been interested or drawn to tarot at all. And then, in the last few years, I've read lots of books, and it was, everybody has their own take on how to use the cards and what all the cards mean. And I was completely bamboozled, and I couldn't really use them, but I was really drawn to them, really fascinated by them, but, stuck in how I was going to use them. And then I came across an online tarot academy. So I joined that, and that just opened the way forward. It was absolutely magic. And that's how I managed to step into the tarot world. And it is extraordinary. It's the cards are just always spot on, which is pretty amazing, because there are 78 cards, and the chances, when you lay a spread out, that spread will probably never have been or never will ever be done again statistically. I mean, that's just mind-blowing in itself, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. It really is. I mean, generally speaking, how do you use them with clients? I mean, what's the instructions given and that kind of thing? Okay. I've got to ask the question, isn't it?
No. They work really, a lot of people just say, you know, oh, I just want to see what the cards say. But actually, they work really well when there's a question to be answered. Not a yes, no question, but a broader question, which you can then investigate. And it's really good if you're a bit nosy as well, because then you can draw more cards and just get a bit more information. So that's how I tend to work it. I encourage people to have some kind of, even if it's just a very, you know, what does the next year look like for me? You know, it's quite fun to do a birthday reading for somebody, okay, or, you know, or an annual year reading. That's another thing that can happen. But, you know, mostly the people who come to me have some aspect of, you know, will the house move? How is it going to pan out? Is, you know, or, you know, I'm stuck in my work. Well, how do I get, you know, what's... help. What do I need to know? All of that sort of thing. So it's they're really good at highlighting areas that you can use to go forward with more confidence. That's really how I use them, to help people feel unstuck and be able to move forward more easily.
Mm. And that's fantastic. You can, like, the person can ask you any questions and you can just basically, you know, use the tarot cards to give some kind of indication. I mean, that's just amazing.
Yeah, it's very different from the impression that people have of tarot if you're watching films and things where it's, oh my God,
this is it. That's what I think about. I think about films that I've watched. And from years ago, you see some tarot reading, but it's not exactly the same way as it is meant to be and works in real life. Is that correct?
No, that's completely right. Yes. So to me, the death card would never mean, you know, somebody's going to conk out. That's not. Oh.
I think, is that one in the Roger Moore 007?
Exactly that, yes.
Live and Let Die, isn't it? I'm thinking of that. I'm thinking, oh my gosh.
That's exactly it, yes. But actually, it just means transition, you know, it just means things are changing, you know, which is always a good thing, you know. One thing, you know, one door shuts, another door opens. It's just that, really.
Absolutely, you know? Absolutely. Do you have any like a good tarot story reading that you've done?
Well, let me think about this. So there've been, I've told you the one about the woman with her business. There was, I had somebody recently actually who is moving house, and she has various issues around that she wanted to sort of check out through the tarot, including actually a very nervous dog. And she wondered how that would work out in the new house and with somebody she's going to have in to help manage him. And so that was all, you know, that was interesting as well. So we did the main reading about the house. Then we did another one about a family member and the new move. And then we did a further little reading about the dog and how that would all pan out as well. So, you know, you've got these kinds of things. I did a reading about somebody's new job, and that was quite interesting because it looked like it was going to take a while, but that it would be very much a new departure, but that it would be a good one. But that it would take a while. So in the event, this person started in the same company, but a new role, completely new department, very exciting but stressful. And the paperwork, i.e. the contract for this person, wasn't signed, wasn't arranged for months and months and months. So the kind of what came through in the tarot reading was very much mirrored in that person's experience. Yeah.
Gosh.
I know, it is a bit of a wow, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, underneath the umbrella of energy healing, I know you do intuitive coaching to help people as well. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, sure. So again, this is something that people tend to come to me, you know, people come to me as a first port of call for the energy healing. And then sometimes they, you know, add on other things. So the coaching is fantastic, again, if somebody's feeling stuck. So, I mean, I can illustrate this with one particular story, for example, of a woman who came to me initially to deal with grief. So I worked with her using the energy healing for that. And then after a while, she decided she would like to use my coaching package to find a way forward, because she's very successful in what she does, but she doesn't necessarily want to be doing it. So it was that sort of scenario where it was trying to see what else might be out there and what she might really want. Now, it's quite interesting, because in my normal energy healing sessions, it's me chatting through what comes up in a session. But in this coaching program, it's completely different. I have some questions that I ask, and then I just sit back and hold the space in silence. Now, this is something that we're not used to doing. I mean, you and I, when we're chatting here, there's this give and take, isn't there? There's no silence, really. I mean, that's not great for radio, obviously, either. But, but you know, you've got that give and take with a conversation. And even if you've got friends or family listening to you, you haven't ever really got the space to properly delve. Whereas in the coaching, often the you know, what comes out is what we think the other person wants to hear, what we feel we should say. Should, that's a word that triggers me. But anyway, well, we can come back to that if you like. But once that's out of the way, the sort of the socially acceptable response to my question, I will then just wait and hold the space, hold the silence. And that is the point at which things can get really quite uncomfortable. And I tell people this will be uncomfortable, because we're not used to doing that. And we're not used to somebody giving us one-to-one attention and not talking and just holding the space. But in doing that, that allows stuff that's deep but in us to come out, and magic can happen. It's just extraordinary. So just by not saying anything, everything can be said, in effect. And you know, this one case that I'm talking about and thinking about now, she reckoned that this coaching technique hugely helped her. She found it very, very healing and helped her process a lot of emotions she'd been struggling with for years, actually. And she felt it was a safe space as well, which is, you know, obviously a good thing. This wouldn't happen unless somebody felt sort of safe in the energy of the sessions. And she also reckoned that they were more helpful than other forms of therapy that she'd used in the past. So that was also very nice to hear. So it's that kind of thing, but, you know, that's the whole coaching side of things. Yeah.
Fantastic. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer. Part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London, where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So, Amanda, are there any examples which really stand out for you of how, and I know it sounds like you've had made a massive difference in, you know, all the people that you work with, you know, in their lives and that kind of thing. Is there anything that really stands out for you? And you can take a few moments to think about this. It's not, you know, like on the spot, you've got to think of it right now. But I'm really interested because you do so much and in different fields and work with obviously so many, you know, you work with children, teenagers, into adulthood, etc. Is there any case that really stand out? You think, you know what, that was absolutely brilliant. I made a real, and I know you make a difference in everything, as I mentioned, but there may be a particular few cases or a case where you think, do you know what, that was unbelievable. That was the amount of support I was able to give that person and the outcome was just fantastic. Is there anything that stands out?
Yeah, I mean, there are quite a few stories. I'll give you a couple. So there was one woman who'd lost her sense of smell since she was, I think, in her late teens, something like that. And I think she was probably in her 50s when she had her session with me. And then a couple of days after she'd had her session, she was walking through a garden centre with a friend and she could quite literally smell the roses. I mean, that honestly blew my mind. That was just extraordinary.
What?
Yes.
I can't believe. So this person was in their 50s and they lost their sense of smell in their 20s, is it?
I think she might have been in her teens. I can't remember.
No, that's fair enough. It's a substantial amount of time. Mm. That's the point. And then after a session with yourself, they were able to, they went through a guidance center, obviously, they were able to regain smell.
Yeah.
That is unreal. What kind of help did you give her? I'm going to, you're not too sure either.
Well, this is the thing, you know, my sessions, all sorts of things pop up in a session and it's just allows things to rebalance and clear. I, you know, I can't put my finger on exactly what it was. There were lots of things that popped up in her session, but the combination of the session allowed her body to rejig.
Did you work with her energy healing wise in terms of body talk, tarot cards, everything? It was body talk, right? Okay.
Body talk I used with her. And then there's another case actually of a woman, and she must have been in her, I would say probably in her 30s when I saw her. And she as a... I can't quite remember the age now, but
no,
as a child, I'm guessing around the age of 11 or 12, but I'm guessing that I can't quite remember the absolute details, but she'd broken her arm and it hadn't been sort of dealt with properly. And so every morning she'd had to ease out her hand because she was arthritic in her wrist, in her hand, and she had pain. And so she'd had that for years. And her, anyway, the sessions seemed to help me. That disappeared, her pain.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. So you with people, you can really help them with like physical ailments by the sound of things. And,
yeah, it can.
You know, and it, do you know what? It also makes me think that a lot of things are psychological. You know, a lot of the things that might be happening, and not with everything, don't get me wrong, you know, but sometimes some physical ailments or challenges, some things can be, with support, you know, with the right support, can be resolved by the sound of things.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything is connected, and it could be, you know, we do adapt. So if somebody is having to be very stoic and can't be very flexible because of life circumstances and that they sort of feel pigeonholed but have to keep moving forward in that kind of way, you might find that their joints start reacting because they haven't in themselves, they can't be free and flexible, and that can be reflected in the body, for example. Mm, yeah.
Gosh, right, of course. Yeah. Now, you have a YouTube channel.
I do.
You do. Tell us a bit more about that.
Well, I just felt over the last few years that I wanted what I do to be available for people if they wanted to have access to it and couldn't afford it. Basically, that's how I started. So I've done various general public energy healing sessions that I've put up there that people can just tune into and use. So if people are feeling stressed and anxious, they can just see which one they're drawn to and, you know, sit down and listen to that. And hopefully they'll end up you know, after listening to it, feeling a little less stressed and a bit easier within themselves. So that's the idea. I started during the first lockdown doing live sessions that were broadcast simultaneously onto Facebook and YouTube, and now I just put things up onto YouTube and leave it there so people can use it if they want. I haven't done that for a while, actually. You've prompted me. I probably should put some new stuff up there. But you know, there are loads. I mean, there were a lot of sessions up there, so you know, people can. There's definitely choice for people already. I also have up there actually 2 hours of morning chorus from the Surrey Hills.
That's brilliant. Did you record that yourself?
I recorded it myself. I don't normally wake that early. But a couple of years ago, I woke literally as it began. And so I rushed into this room where I am sitting now, plugged a little microphone, sort of attached it to the window, and went back to bed. And I've got these 2 hours of morning chorus, and it's, you know, I'm very lucky. I live in this, in the hills, and there's loads of birdsong. And I just think that's such a lovely thing to have in the background, you know, for if somebody's being creative and wanting to meditate or paint or, I don't know, just, or if you don't have access to the countryside and you want a bit of countryside in your ears, it's there for you.
That's fantastic. Is anything else on YouTube that you've done which basically will help everyone, or any areas that you remember?
I think it's mainly the energy healing sessions at the moment, but I do have plans for other things as well, and you know, maybe even a little chat show at some point, but we'll see.
Oh, that's good. That's nice. Yeah, I think that would work really well. And yeah, you could also maybe talk about case examples of people that you've helped, you know. And if some people give you consent, you could talk to them directly and they could be filmed on YouTube. That'd be something, isn't it?
You see, clients are a little reticent to be caught on camera. This is the thing, you know. It's interesting, isn't it? Some might be. I probably need to get braver about asking people. That would be the start, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. If you had one piece of advice to give from all that you've learned over the years, what would it be?
Listen to your gut feelings. You know, we have our internal traffic lights for a reason, and when things don't feel right within us, either physically or emotionally or mentally, usually it's because we're not listening to our gut feelings. We're not following our internal wisdom, and that's when things start to get uncomfortable, when things start to go wrong. So that would be, you know, we live in a very head focused world, but actually that's not how we function. So if we can tune into our intuition and follow its guidance, that would be that's my one thing. I think that the people who come to me in most discomfort are usually a bit disconnected from that.
That's a brilliant piece of advice. I mean, funny enough, for the last few months, I think people hear about it, they know about it, but then sometimes you kind of, you know, just get on with things, and it could be just a subtle sign, and people, you know, it's very difficult, isn't it, sometimes to just really tap into it. But if you really start paying attention to it, there's more, the signs kind of increase, don't they, in terms of giving you, what kind of signs should people look out for when following their gut feeling?
Well, this is interesting, isn't it? I think it's different for everybody, but you know, you could just get, as you say, it can be fleeting. So you need to be, you know, on your toes and really trying to be aware of these little signals. But it could be just a sort of a fleeting tummy flutter, you know, something just like that. It could be a doubt that arises, but that, you know, then your conscious mind, you know, left brain sweeps in and says, oh, don't be ridiculous, it can't be, whatever, you know. And so we're very good at brushing aside these things, but in fact there are lots of easy things that we can do to help ourselves connect better with that. And in fact, actually, that's one thing I haven't mentioned. I do have a couple of little courses and that I've put up for people to use, and one of them is how to use your intuition, which is
brilliant.
Tiny bite-sized videos. I can't remember offhand how many there are, but there's a whole bunch of them with different things to look out for if you want to start using your intuition more. And you can find that on my website.
Do you speak much about that to your clients as well, about the gut feeling and intuition?
Oh, yes, I do. Internal traffic lights come up a lot. And that's often to do with the solar plexus, which is the our sense of ourself. That's that chakra with that energy center in the tummy is often involved, and the lower chakras as well. You know, there's lots of, but it's those little moments where of discomfort, I think, is probably a good way of putting it. You know, even if there's a conversation and the way it's going, you maybe don't agree with it, but you don't want to say it, but there's something in you that makes you feel uncomfortable. You know, it's those little, it's just checking in. I don't know. I mean, with yourself, what sort of ways were you able to access your intuition when you said you've been thinking about it?
I mean, basically, my stomach, it actually does a little growl.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason, and that's only, I think, happening more so in the last few months, because I've tapped in much more into following my intuitive side of my gut. And it's really weird, but it actually does happen. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, and also I just pay attention to my general emotions and mood. If there's something going on, or I'm going to make a decision about something, or I'll kind of wait on it, I'll sleep on it, and I'll see how I feel. And I'll either feel quite clear about it, like there'll be nothing really, feel very neutral, or I'll have I feel a bit down. I'll feel a little bit off, if that makes sense. I think everybody is able to read themselves and know when they're a bit off. And like you said earlier, it can be, you know, it's each to their own in terms of what signals they might get. Do you know what I mean? But yeah. I've noticed that's a few things with me. But you've got to be very honest with yourself. You've got to be one of those people that's really clear about what you're asking, or what's, you know, what you're thinking about.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. So I work with the idea of us having three brains, the head, the heart, and the gut, and they're all massively interconnected. There's massive, communication between and within them all. And the most, you know, there's more communication that goes from the gut up to the brain than the other way around. And actually, interestingly as well, when there are emotional releases to happen in a technique, and I've got somebody here physically with me, one of the techniques, I actually wait for a tummy rumble, because that to me shows that that it's processed.
Oh, brilliant. So I'm not alone then.
So that's interesting, isn't it?
That's good. That's really good. That's fantastic. And as you mentioned earlier, I think it'd be nice for our listeners for you to tell about a bit. You've mentioned quite a lot about your services, but you're very flexible. It sounds like you do. Talk to us a bit about the flexibility in terms of the remote access, face-to-face, that you can support.
Oh, yes. Okay. So with my energy heat, well, with everything actually, I can either do face-to-face. So I'm based in Surrey, not far from Godalming, Guildford. But most of my work is done remotely over video. So that's how I do most of my sessions. But sometimes people want to get on with their lives, or they can't join, or their children or whatever. And in those cases, I would do an audio recording as I do the session. So I chat through exactly what's happening as I would if somebody was with me, and then send the audio recording to them afterwards, or to the parent, or, you know, whatever. So I have those three, you know, the in-person, the video, and the recorded are the options. But I can also do a tarot reading over Zoom, or the coaching, or, you know, it's all possible in person or remotely.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. And where can people find you if they want to find a bit more about your services, or just get in contact?
Lovely. Well, I have two websites, just a bit complicated, but it's very simple, really. If you go to Amanda Weller, WELLER.com, that is where you'll find everything about the energy healing. And then everything else is on my other website, which is lightreflections.me.
Amanda, you've been brilliant. Thank you so much for today. A lot of useful information.
Well, it's been lovely. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Gavin, very much for having me.
No worries. And thank you to our listeners. You know you can find me on Instagram at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.